Let's go to our Father in prayer. My dear love and loving and merciful Father in heaven, Father, we gather together here as your children this morning, Father, to sing praises to you and lift you up, Father. It's not about us, Father. You've done so much for us. This is our time that we praise you. Help us feel your presence this morning as we gather around the table, as we sing songs to you, as we go through your word, Father. Help us to listen and obey your word. Father, you've done so much for us. We praise you for that. We praise for you for adopting us as your children, being our Father. We praise you for sending your Son, Father, to die for us, that we might have eternal life through him, Father. He has taken away our sins, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for the resurrection, Father, of Jesus. That gives us the hope and the promise that we too, in the last days, will be resurrected, Father. Father, help us to always do your will. Father, when we obey you, we give glory to you, Father. We thank you and praise that you would always do that, Father. We continually need your guidance. We need one another, Father. We thank you for the fellowship and love that we show one another, Father. It's the second greatest commandment. Help us to do that. Most of all, help us to continually praise you, Father. You are the one and only true God. Father, we love you. We know you love us, Father. Father, we pray again and thank you for Jesus. All these things in his name. Amen.
Scripture reading today is going to come from 2 Timothy. Surprise, surprise. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. If you're looking at the Brown Pew Bibles, it's on page 1156. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Let's give our ears and our hearts to the word of the Lord. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm not even going to try to make you think I'm Catherine. That just doesn't work in any way, shape, or form. So, can I have the kids come down? See, Patrick started out with blocks last week. I'm starting out with the kids this week. So if you haven't prayed for me, now's a good time because there's no telling how this is going to work. What we've got, kids, is two bins. Bin A and bin B. What you get to do let's see. Carly, we're going to let you go first, okay? You get to pick one item. What you're each going to do is you get to pick one item from bin A, one item from bin B, and then put it down on the sheet of paper with your name. Yours, Jeremiah, there's yours. So you guys can go ahead, look in the bins, and decide which one you want to get in there. Well, I didn't expect them to be quite that reserved about it.
An indecisive one.
Oh. so much. You can go ahead. And then William and Abby. So you can pick one item from A, one item from B, and then just leave it down on the sheet of paper. And then after you've got your items picked out, here we go. Then you can go down. Excellent. Thank you so much. We're going to come back a little later. If you could just leave this here, and you're going to go down to kids' class. What I'm going to do is we're just going to leave it sit here. I'm going to try to convince the teachers to try to have your attention. At the same time, I'm giving out treats. That's probably not going to work so good. Okay. Have you ever had a last minute concern that you went, this is about to go terribly wrong? Yeah, well, I had that right at the start of service because I went to walk in here and I couldn't find my notes. I put them down somewhere but couldn't remember where I put them down. And I went, I thought that illustration with the kids could go wrong. The whole thing was headed to go wrong. Unfortunately for you, I found them. So If you've spent any amount of time on Facebook, you've probably seen a post that said, this is a social experiment so that we can see if you read all the way to the end of it. So I decided we were going to use the kids to do a little social experiment today. And I must admit that the social experiment turned out very much like I expected it to. Now, when I was talking with Shirley about this, we had talked about, he said, Scott, you know this could go really wrong and they could just pick all the wrong things. I said, yep, that could happen, but I was going to just have faith that it wasn't all going to go wrong. At least somebody was going to do the illustration for me. So our children have set something apart. And later on, we're going to talk about how they did. This is part of being set apart, is the role that faith plays. Okay? It took a little bit of an act of faith to decide to involve the kids in an experiment. Well, W.C. Fields was reported to have said that he wouldn't work with children or animals. They're hard to predict what they're going to do. Being that we've got a ranch, I can understand that animals can be a little difficult to predict. And having had children, I can agree they can also be a little hard to predict. So, what is it to be set apart? Well, I'm going to start by suggesting being set apart is bigger, more involved, and more dependent on us, and more critical to God's success than we likely appreciate. First, the simple part. Being set apart is somehow being different. Being different than all the noise around us. Now, I'm not talking about appearance. I'm not talking about Brad, who's tall and slender. I'm not talking about, and now I don't see him. Of course, I warned him I was going to do this. Or Jeff, who's shorter and heavier. Or myself, who's just plain heavier. So we're not talking about appearance in set apart. We're talking about something that set apart that is recognizable
to God. Something that makes us different, makes us an example that God wants to use. Verse 20 tells us that in a large house, there are articles, not only of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. So I'm going to suggest, as the commentators did, that that large house is God's house, that it has many articles in it. It has articles of gold and silver, items of great value. It also has items of wood and clay. No house is going to function properly without the valuable items and the less valuable items. If every one of you thinks about your house for just a moment, I'm sure that you've got the good china or the silver. Then you've also got brooms and dustpans and, sorry guys, because I know this is what how Shirley would feel, our tools, which are not the things of value, even though I probably disagree with that. She's been known to say, are you going to go out and play with your toys? So it's also a matter of perspective. But there's things of great value and things of less value that make up what's in our houses, what's in our hearts, what's in our homes. Now, at the same time, not only are there items of great value and items of lesser value, but that's the case in church as well. There are items of great value, and there are items that we might say are of lesser value. But let me illustrate the point. In church, there are things that some of us probably would consider mundane. We don't even think about it, okay? And let me give example, okay? Without the mundane, what would it be like for us to arrive at the church building for worship? For example, if there were no bulletin boards in the hall for us to get announcements off of, or to sign up for activities, those are things we don't even give a thought to. But if they weren't there, how would we function? There are the handouts that we get at each service. That constitutes, in my mind, another one of those mundane topics, okay? Now, we wouldn't notice they were missing until we went to go say, what's the order of worship? Or what activities are coming up? Then we'd suddenly miss it, and we would miss that communication. The picture board that's out in the hallway, okay? Another one of those things that is not great and exciting, but how many people, myself included, have had to go look at the picture board in order to put a name with a face, okay? Those are all things that without them being there, without those mundane things, we would have trouble functioning without the wood and the clay. Now, at the same time, there are things that are maybe less visible, but just as important. Okay? How about finance? Without anybody counting the contribution or watching what's going in or out, I'm going to suggest that we would be in trouble without the leadership that Brad Stanger puts into that and the hours he puts in. We would have a problem. Without the building maintenance that happens, okay, again, something that is even less noticeable. I assure you that if it wasn't being done, it would suddenly be noticeable. So we've talked about those things that are mundane, those things that are visible and those things that are less visible. But now there's special projects or special tasks. One of those, as an example, is the task I'm undertaking right now. Patrick, by the way, I meant to do this at the start. Hi, Patrick, you said you were going to be watching, so now we can all wave at Patrick and say good morning. So that he knows that we're still paying attention to him. Without somebody to fill in for Patrick, that special task that I'm undertaking, and that I think Kevin is undertaking next week, without people to fill in that special task, how would our worship go? Better yet, don't answer that. I'm not sure I want to hear the answer to that right now. From having short conversations with people in ministry, that's another form of being set apart. Whether it's Patrick undertaking the preaching, whether it's Kevin undertaking family life. Does anybody want to guess how many times Kevin's phone rings, how many text messages he gets, how many emails he gets? Is being part of that ministry? Again, we don't see those things. However, but he's got a big smile on his face, so I can tell I'm right. Without that ministry, we would fall short in other places. Sometimes a calling is something we feel compelled to undertake. Sometimes that calling is something that we're asked to do. I had asked Kevin earlier today just to be sure, but sometimes that being set apart for a task, sometimes you kind of fall into it a little bit by accident. Sometimes you're trying to get there, and in the end, we follow what God's calling is. So far, I hope what you're seeing is that set apart is much bigger than the three verses that we've got to work with. So who decides we should be set apart? Well, first, we do. We get to make the first decision about being set apart. Sometimes we volunteer, as I did to do this. This is twice now, so I clearly am not learning my lesson. Sometimes somebody else feels we've got something to offer, and so they put your name forward to do something. So one of my first questions to leave you with today is, do you feel that you have something to offer? Is there an opportunity for you to serve? There's my first question that I want to leave you with. I asked Troy and Ken this week about ministries that were looking for a leader, looking for somebody to fill those in. And so I just want to touch on some of these because I was kind of surprised at some of the ones that they were looking to have filled in. And I think this is another way of illustrating my point. One of them was children's education. That one really kind of struck me, that they're looking for somebody to fill in as a leader in the children's education. Okay. We started out with the children. By the way, when I decided to do this illustration, I didn't know that was going to be the first one that Ken was going to give me, was children's education. So I'm going to suggest God is somehow at work in this, that I was using an illustration with kids, and that was the first thing he put on his list. Somebody to coordinate worship services Right now, we don't have somebody in that role, but different people are stepping in, and they've put the swag in place in order to help guide it. The building and grounds for the outside of the building. If there was nobody taking care of that, what do you think our yard would look like? How difficult do you think it would be to get people to say, hey, I think I'd like to go there, if they had to go through a jungle of weeds in order to get to the building? Probably wouldn't work well. Mother-daughter banquet. They're looking for somebody to take over leading that. And by the way, some of these things are not just work. Some of these have a tremendous building up effect. Let me give you an example. When the mother-daughter banquet restarted earlier this year, after being gone for a few years, I got my mother, my wife, my female children, and my female grandchildren to all come to that. So that had an impact. Okay, it has a huge impact. Never discount, even though you might get involved in what seems like a small or insignificant service opportunity, never discount the impact that you can have. Seasonal, another one that Ken gave me was seasonal and event decorations. I have to admit, I took that one for granted because there are flowers that go with the time of the year and decorations that go up. Somebody's doing it, but they're looking for somebody to coordinate that. And I'm sure that there's other things. Let me show you something that, in preparation for the message, that I learned. I knew this existed. If anybody has not seen the attendance directory, there's a stack of them out on the table. That's great for phone numbers and addresses and so forth. However, let me direct you to the last couple of pages. It says, who do I see about? You'll find all kinds of topic categories in there that have no name on them. Boy, I wish I'd had known that that was there. I just figured it was a list of names and addresses. Once again, something being done that can help us. So there's a couple that on the surface seem so obvious that I went, do I even want to put them in there about who decides to be set apart? Teachers. Now, we talked about children's education earlier, and Dan, I was looking around to just so I could pick out Danny. Danny goes downstairs every Sunday morning and does the children's class. Okay. I feel it's worth some applause for Danny for taking those kids every Sunday morning. Even when he whacks himself in the nose and he's got to walk around and say, I'm not bleeding, am I? So, sorry, Danny, I was going to pick on you. You just gave me the opportunity earlier. So, teachers get to do that. Which one of you, or has some of you at some point had a teacher in the past that encouraged you to take on a project or take on a task, and somehow that project or task changed your life? Okay, those opportunities are there. Now, another one that certainly is so obvious that I almost didn't include it, but parents. We influence our children. We influence our grandchildren. We get to encourage them to take on tasks, to take on projects. We get to start them on a road of being set apart. And then the last one who gets to decide about us being set apart is God. Now, although God doesn't normally hire a billboard and put it in front of us that says, get involved, he works in more subtle ways. That still small voice that sits on your shoulder and says, Scott, they need help with this. Okay? That still small voice, okay? It may be a whisper to us, but I suggest that voice may likely be sitting there and shouting at us to do something. We just need to listen to it. Sometimes that calling to get involved comes in the form of multiple texts, multiple calls, and multiple emails before we pay attention. Eventually, hopefully, we pay attention and hear that calling. So then, we've talked about being called. We've talked about who calls us. Now, what is our role in being set apart? Well, first, it's helpful if we want to be set apart. If you want to just be part of the noise, part of the background, God will let us do that. We'll be part of that background. I don't think I'm going to suggest he's okay with it, but he'll let us do that. Listening to others' encouragement to get involved, to take on a task, to take on a project. Sometimes that listening to others can provide valuable guidance for us. Now, being set apart is a process. We don't normally wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be set apart today. I'm good to go. Okay? It becomes a process that we're looking for something to be involved in. We're looking for an opportunity to serve. We're wondering what the right direction is going to be. Now, remember Patrick's illustration last week? It was really quite visible. Okay, he got up here and he started talking. I was just impressed, by the way, that he got up here and he starts building something up here on the podium, and he's talking and he's taking blocks out of the bag and he's building them up, and he's not ever looking at what he's doing. Okay, and if that was me, I'm sure I would have knocked it over somewhere during the process. But no, he very calmly took the blocks out and kept building and kept building. Okay, all the while he was speaking, stacking one block on another. And so our journey to being set apart is a little like Patrick building that tower, that over time it takes shape. Over time it comes into focus. Over time we get to see what we're being set apart for, or how we can be involved and how we can respond. Now, sometimes that tower is going to get knocked down, as was Patrick's illustration. Sometimes that being set apart is not a clear path forward. Sometimes it's going to go to the left, and sometimes it's going to go to the right. Sometimes it's going to get knocked down. Our role is, how do we get up when that happens? Being set apart is transformational. Now, what do I mean by that? Again, using Patrick's illustration, he built a tower with those blocks. Now, our text from 2 Timothy talks about the gold in the silver, in the wood, in the clay. Many of you know we remodeled our house that was done about a year ago. And The truck would come and it would deliver these enormous bundles of wood and put them in the yard. And I would look at these piles of wood and go, oh, yeah, I know that pile's the kitchen and that pile's the bathroom. Nope. It was just piles of wood. What did it take? It took a carpenter to take that wood and turn it into a house. Shirley likes pottery. I don't usually have, I'd like to watch her do it, but I don't have the patience to do it. Same case with clay. You take a blob of clay and you put it on the wheel and it starts to spin around and you've got this nondescript pile of clay on the wheel. And you mold it and you shape it and you get something of value out of it. That's the same way our journey can be to being called and being set apart. It takes a carpenter to turn the wood into something of value. It takes a potter to take the clay and create something of value. And so that's my take on the wood and the clay, is that wooden clay gets turned into gold and silver by a carpenter and by a potter. Remember where I started, and we started talking about faith, and I suggested I was conducting a social experiment. I didn't tell the kids what were in the bins. I didn't tell you what were in the bins, because I wanted to see what the kids were going to do with the contents of the bins. Bin, I'm not sure which letter I put on which one. Bin A had snacks in it. And when I was preparing this, I wanted to have snacks in it that were sugar snacks, something that I was sure was going to appeal to a child. And then I went, I need healthy snacks to see if somebody was going to pick on the healthy snacks. Brad, I'll be happy to set you up with snacks when we're done. I could see he was already looking around to see how that turned out. And it went much like how I expected it to go. Bin B, on the other hand, contained other gifts, okay? It contained things that were usable, that the kids could take and use. Some of them were toys. There was some plush items in there. There were coloring books, and there were all kinds of different things. And I wanted to see how the kids were going to set things apart when they got to pick their own things to set apart. Now, not everybody took a sugar snack. I really expected the sugar snacks is what was all going to be taken. Now, what really surprised me was things like the flashlights that went. I didn't see the kids taking something of value like that they were going to take and use. I saw them going straight for the toys. So, what's the illustration here? Our kids understand what being set apart is, what it is to take something of value. Where did they learn that? Well, first, hopefully, they learned that from us, okay? But now somehow we get a little older and we suddenly don't do as good figuring out that part of it. So that was my social experiment. I started at the beginning, I went, this could go really wrong. The illustration could absolutely not work.
And Patrick used blocks and cleaning up the blocks, so.
That one wasn't going to work for me. God wants us to be set apart. He cares for us, he loves us, and he desires for us to care about and love him. Now, when I got the scripture from Patrick, verses 20 and 21 really made sense. I could see that. Somehow, verse 22, I was sure he made a mistake. I couldn't see how verse 22 joined up to verses 20 and 21. Let me read. Flee evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, and love in peace, along with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. Well, I thought, how does that connect? In English, it's a different paragraph, so my mind said it's a different thought. But Patrick attached verse 22 to 20 and 21. So it was time to study the reference and get some more input. Well, here was the conclusion that commentators gave, and I'm going to stick with. Sometimes we make mistakes. Now, we normally do those mistakes when we're younger or when we're young at heart. We continue to sometimes make mistakes, and I think verse 22 is warning us about those mistakes. I'm sure at some point or time we've gone, boy, I wish I had known that when I was younger. I used to have a sign that I would put up for my teenagers. Hurry up and move out while you still know everything. Sometimes I need to put that sign up for myself. We get to determine how useful we are. We can make those mistakes and resist being useful, or we can opt to be the lumber or the clay that gets turned into something of value. So verse 22 is connected because it's warning us to not make the mistake of ignoring verses 20 and 21. Now, I think I would be remiss if I didn't give a caution here. There's going to be those that do not agree to be set apart. Those that are going to continue to be wooden clay. Those that don't want to be worked on by the carpenter or the potter. We need to have faith. We need to remember where we started out, and we need to remember who the carpenter is and who the potter is and what they are capable of doing. Do not make a mistake of missing out on being set apart. Don't make a mistake on ignoring the calling. If you see an opportunity to be of service, to help to be set apart, to be that wood or clay, I encourage you to talk to Troy or Ken or Patrick or Kevin. Find some place to be involved. If you feel that calling to be involved, or you feel the need to become a child of God, to begin that journey on being set apart, this is your opportunity to respond as we stand and sing.